Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 6/11/12. I have a sponsor and a home group, and I am available to sponsor others. I haven't spoken since I got sober this time, so I'm very nervous right now. I guess I'll start from the beginning. I am from Fort Myers, Florida. Grew up with an older sister. She's 8 years older than me. My mom always worked 2 jobs my whole life. My sister pretty much raised me. She was always, you know, cooking dinner and taking care of me. My mom always worked at night and was never really home. But my mom worked really hard to be there when she could, and she tried her best to be a part of my life as much as she could. When I started acting out, like, being bad because my sister was, in with a cool crowd, and I always used to tell on her because she used to smoke cigarettes and leave beer cans underneath our bed, and I hated her for it because everyone would talk about how crazy it was, and I was like, well, my sister does it, so I have to tell my mom. And then I started getting bad grades at school because I just was lazy. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't have very many friends. I was the fat cheerleader growing up. all the cheerleaders were like these skinny, blonde, beautiful girls, and I was just like this fat brunette that, you know, was always the bystander. But me and my sister very early on made a decision that if I got in trouble, she would cover for me, and if she started to get in trouble, I would cover for her. So that went on until my sister moved out when she was 18 and I was 10 years old, and from then on, my mom worked at night, so I was home alone. And I was one of those really weird kids that just didn't go out. I would stay at home and watch TV all night long while everyone else was out. My friends' parents wouldn't let my friends come stay the night at my house because my mom wasn't home. So I started like smoking cigarettes and thinking I was like the coolest person ever when I was in fifth grade. When I was like 12, my friends, we realized that I've always looked older than I was, and I've always had like this creepy deep voice. So I would call my friend's parents and pretend like I was my mom on the phone, telling them that I would be, you know, my mom was going to be there and she was taking us wherever. And we started taking taxis who takes taxis in Florida in seventh grade? But we did, to the movies, to like, you know, meet boys or whatever, and smoke cigarettes at my house. Like, you know that if you're going to Tara's house, you're going to take a cab to the movies and you're going to smoke cigarettes. Like, that was what we did. And we would walk to McDonald's and pretend like we were in high school, but we were really 12. I lived in this fantasy world that I was, like, always something I wasn't. And basically all these people just used me because I had a house that no one was home. And that went on through the high school. Like, I had the party house where the parents weren't there. In eighth grade, a lot of my friends started doing drugs, and it freaked me out. Like, I'll never forget the one night my friends called me and told me they needed to come to my house. And I was like, okay, well, my mom happened to be home that one Friday night, and my friends opened my door and tell me that the leprechauns are running after them. And they were clearly on drugs. And I was like, my mom's like, Tara, what are you doing hanging out with these people? And I was like, I don't hang out with these people. And from then on, I was like, oh, my God, I'm never doing drugs. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore. Like, I'm going to be above that. And I joined, like, sad at school and, like, mad or whatever, all this stuff at school that I was, like, totally going to be against it. And I totally got that DARE jacket that you get. I won that. So ninth grade comes around, and from being, like, against all that, I had no, like, really no friends. And, something happened after eighth grade. I, like, you know, lost all that weight, and people that didn't go to my school started to notice me, like guys started to notice me at other schools. So I never hung out with people from my school. My friend, like the people I grew up with will be like, Tara, like, what are you doing on the weekends? You never hang out with us. And I was like, well, you guys don't understand. I have all these guys that want me at other schools. And they just thought I was full of it. But like, I still to this day, like, I can't understand why those people like, couldn't see past, like, the fat cheerleader Tara. And I asked this guy, a guy this once, and he was like, I just see you as that fat cheerleader that you used to be. So, like, that's just how it was. And, but to hang out with these guys, all these people from other schools, I had to start partaking in stuff, like, I really don't care to do. So I started drinking and smoking pot, and I got into, you know, a lot of psychedelic drugs when I was in ninth grade, and that just continued, and I still had, like, just no ambition to do anything academically. I was like, I just want to be a career drug addict, and that's cool. Like, I'm okay with just doing acid and ecstasy the rest of my life. Like, why would you want to do anything else? And I would just drink my, you know, drink and drink and drink, and then finally my mom was like, you know, is there something wrong with you? And I was like, no, I just, you know, I'm different, Mom. You just won't understand. My mom, I never saw my mom drink. She had maybe like a beer every couple of years. My mom never really drank. So I guess I was like 17, and I met the first love of my life. That I thought at the time, and he was from New Jersey, and he was a heroin addict, and I don't know this day, but this is just part of my story. I started doing heroin when I was 17 years old. I started drinking, but like just we would just drink and drink and drink and do tons of heroin, and I was never exposed to that. Like, I didn't know. I was like, heroin, like, you guys must just do this in New Jersey, because I've never seen anyone here in Fort Myers do this. But I thought it was, like, so cool, because it was different, because I was like, well, no one here does that, so, like, I can do this and be totally cooler than everyone else. But that was not the case. I ended up dropping out of, I was going to, when I was 17, I would switch to vocational school to go to cosmetology school and finish high school. Well, I convinced my mom that, like, I wasn't getting good enough grades at the cosmetology school, and they were going, if they expelled me, I wouldn't be able to go back. So I convinced her that I needed to drop out of school so that I could go save up my, get a job and save up my money and go back the next semester. She was like, are you, you know, my poor mom. She was like, are you sure this is the right thing to do? And, you know, I was like totally whacked out of my mind that day, like so drunk. And she was like, you've been drinking. And I was like, Mom, I'm fine. Like, I just signed the paper. And she signed that paper, and, like, that is, like, one of my biggest regrets. I was letting her sign that paper. I dropped out of school, and things just got so much worse so fast. My life went, just spiraled down. I ended up, it was 2 weeks before my, or a month before my 18th birthday, me and this guy, He moved in with me and my mom, and I was getting to the point where I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was getting sick, and I couldn't deal. Like, I'm a baby when it comes to pain, and I couldn't deal. And I told, like, it was Easter, and he was like, we have to go get something before we go home. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to miss Easter. My mom's been cooking all day. And he told me he couldn't go to my house without being high. So I left him. I told him that I was done, and I went home, and I told my mother that I was a heroin addict and I needed help. And her boyfriend at the time was a recovering heroin addict, and, like, he gave me some of his methadone to, like, get me off of it or whatever. So a couple weeks go by, and I think I'm fine, and Mr. Wright, you know, calls me and is like, I miss you so much, and I get on a plane, no, don't even tell my mother, and I fly to New Jersey. And I'm like, yeah, where everything's going to be great, you know, and I 2 weeks later, after living in New Jersey, I was high again, and that was just, like, that's whatever happened. I would get clean a couple days, and I would tell all these people, like, that were my friends, like, I'm so much better than you. I've been clean for 4 days. can't be friends anymore. I'm sober, but I'm, you know, drunk. You know, like, alcohol never left me. No matter how many times I would get clean off heroin, I always drank. I never stopped drinking. I never stopped smoking pot. And then I stayed in New Jersey for a while, and then my boyfriend at the time just started getting violent, and I couldn't take it anymore, and he started stealing money from me and making these obscene stories. So I left him, and I came back to Florida. And while I was here in Florida, or when I came back, I was like, okay, I don't need him anymore. I'm going to be sober. And that wasn't the case. For the next 3 years, I did really bad stuff. Sorry, I'm trying to talk fast. 5 minutes. The next 3 years, I just did things that I never thought in my right mind that I would do. I stole from my family. There's just tons of stuff that, like, every junkie goes through, you know, that we just do. And I got arrested in 2009, and I was put on probation, and I violated probation by moving and not telling my probation officer, and I ended up doing 12 and a half months in jail for that. And when I got out of jail, I decided I was really going to stay sober, and I went to a halfway house. Well, I got out of jail, I relapsed the day I got out, because, you know, I had to feel like I owe this to myself. And, you know, the next day I was like, damn it, you know, I had 12 and a half months, and, you know, then, so I went to this halfway house, and that was just a total crap show. It was like, it wasn't like, you know, these halfway houses I see here that are like, people are really trying to do what they're doing. It was more like, oh my God, we have to go to All Dolled Up, because we're going to go to, like, a meeting, and this was the Oxford house, and it was like high school all over. You walk in a meeting, oh, there's the Oxford girls, oh my God. And, like, we could not go to a meeting without getting, like, completely dressed up, taking, like, 2 hours to get ready. It was absolutely ridiculous. No one was there to get sober. So that didn't help. I ended up relapsing after two months, and I stayed out for five months, and then at 5 months, it got worse than it ever did before. And then one day, someone that I had met in AA, when I was sober, the 2 months, saw me and told me that I looked like I was dead. And I was like, I am dead. I don't know what to do. I couldn't get it. So there's something different with you guys. Like, I couldn't get it. And so he told me that he would give me a place to live if I left where I was to get sober. And I did. And I got sober last March, and I decided to stay sober, and things worked out. I did the steps, and I moved to Tampa. I moved here and with my best friend, who had 4 years of sobriety at that point in time. And when I got here, I just became, it was, my sobriety changed. Like, I just didn't do what I was supposed to be doing here. I had no one to watch over me. I didn't have the people that, like, knew me when I first got sober, knew what I needed, telling me, calling me on my shit. And I was going to shows every weekend. I thought I had it under control. I was resting on my laurels, as they say. And I had God as my sponsor. I fired my sponsor and told everyone God was my sponsor. And I relapsed last year, the day after Thanksgiving. The couple months that, or the 5 months that I was out, I had some of the best times of my life. In those 5 months, I met the love of my life, who is going to be the father of my child. And but I, no matter what, I was still lost. You know, like, I tried to come back, and I was so scared. And no matter how, you know, screwed up I could get out there, I was so empty inside, and I couldn't see it, and I was so cut off, and I tried so hard to, you know, stay spiritual while I was out there, and I couldn't. Like, it was just not possible. And no one, I couldn't talk, I could, like, I was just paralyzed out there. I just had to keep, I never went back to using opiates or anything. I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking while I was out there and doing other things that I'd never done before. But, I don't know, I tried so many times to come back before, and if it weren't for God blessing me with having a child, I wouldn't be here today. And, I get to be a mom soon, and I get to be a sober mom, and I'm so grateful for this program because it's given me another way to live my life. And my fiancé is not an alcoholic. He drinks, and he doesn't drink like me. He doesn't understand me, but he's trying to understand. He drinks because he likes the taste of beer. I drink because I like the effect of beer, and he's, you know, slowly trying to understand, but... yeah, I'm just so grateful for all of you for being here for me through this pregnancy, and I don't know what I would do without all of you and God, so thanks.